Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hello, everyone, everywhere. This is Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads podcast for today. We are in part two of our two-part interview with Nelson E. Brown, the author of the book, The Beauty in Us, Our Reality. Now, if you missed any of yesterday's episode, you need to go back and catch up. Nelson is giving us a perspective on what we find today in society is a constant conversation about image is everything. But usually, you're getting this information from a female perspective. Nelson has created this book to give you basically his life story, and he's exposing men, women, boys, girls, to that men also struggle with image issues. And you're hearing it on a very rare occasion from a male perspective. This is an awesome interview. It's an awesome book. He has written this book, and it is something you need to share, especially if you have a child, a brother, sister, or a friend or relative who's going through these issues. Let's jump right back into part two of today's interview with Nelson Brown. You struggled with weight issues as a young age as well?
Yes, I was always considered to be heavier than the other students in my class, but
right.
I didn't really view it as being a problem until I was about like in the fifth or sixth grade.
Mm-hmm.
That's when I started to view it as a problem, and that's when I became a target of not just students but teachers as well.
Wow! Yeah, and you know, I remember when I was growing up, I tried out for sports and things like that, but you know, I did get on the junior high football team, and you know, they wanted me to be right up there next to the center because I was big and people have a hard time getting through me, right? But I wasn't quick enough to really do anything. I mean, if the running back went past me, there's absolutely zero chance of me trying to catch him. I mean, that just wasn't going to happen.
Right.
So that I only was on that for 1 year. In high school, I did play baseball. You know, my 11th and 12th grade. But you know, it was. I can completely understand what you're saying. I went to a couple of the school dances, and you know, shunned by the girls, laughed at by the boys. You know, so I just stopped doing that sort of social activity, and you know. And unfortunately, that just exasperates the situation because, and even now I struggle to this day, if I'm going through something, I counsel myself with food, you know? I mean, that's, you know, so I always am conscious of that now. But I mean, I went up after my injury and forced retirement as a cop, I went from 220 up to 280 pounds in probably 2 years and stayed there, you know, the whole up until last year when I finally, you know, aches and pains and, you know, bad blood tests and all this stuff going on, I just say, you know what, Lord, I need to take charge of this. You know, I'm not going to be like this anymore. So, you know, I've lost a lot of weight the past year, and I've changed my entire lifestyle as far as food goes. And, you know, I'm feeling better now than I have in years. But, you know, it was just something. The Holy Spirit just in you saying, you know, this is what you need to do to fix this. Now, I can see that through your book, not only is the Holy Spirit working with you, but he's using you to inspire change in other people's life. And I'm not using change like you are really wrong, you need to change, but changing your self-perspective, your perception of yourself. Is that what you sense the Lord doing through this book series?
Absolutely, and like I said, even this is a book series, so there will be a volume 2, 3, and 4, and whatever God wants me to do from this point forward. I'm working on two more right now that I plan on releasing in the summer of next year.
Amen.
And you will definitely see the progression, and you will definitely see the growth. You know, my editor, she said that, you know, with each book that you write, it's the content is supposed to mature, mm-hmm. and you're supposed to see growth. And so that's what my readers, listeners, and viewers will definitely get a chance to see me grow. You know, I'm only 19 years old. I'll be 20 in May this year.
Okay.
And by the time my second book, well, my second and third book will be released, that puts me at 21 years old. And just ever since I've graduated from high school, my whole outlook on life has changed for the better.
Amen.
And I've just, ever since I've branched out as an author, as an evangelist, as a philanthropist, and even with everything that I'm doing, you know, I'm a student as well. I'm an environmental science student at the Community College of Baltimore County in Catonsville, Maryland. And I've been sharing my story and using platforms, you know, with other students. Some of my colleagues at work, you know, I work at the Maryland Department of the Environment.
Amen. And, MDE.
Yes, and I've been working there since I was 17. And,
wow.
And just everybody has watched me grow so much, and that's what they'll have the opportunity to see that with the next two books as I continue to fight off youthful insecurities. Mm-hmm. Because the first book, you see a lot of vulnerability and innocence, but the second and third books, they're a lot more mature and they're a lot more grounded.
Yeah. Well, it's important to lay the foundation of the background upon what you're building. I mean, if you just started off with book number two, people wouldn't really be able to understand why you're saying in that book what you're telling them. But if they read book one and then go to book two, it will make complete sense. You know, so book one has to lay that foundation. So I agree 100%, man. And you, I mean, if you're already working with MDE and all that, man, you are awesome. Yeah, you know? I mean, to start out with a state agency at such a young age, you're going to go far in that environment, because I know how the state, you know, system works and everything from my experience with it. I got my daughter into the state system when I was a cop. She was looking for a new job, so I got her in there, and you know, she started off with a dispatcher job, but once she got some years under her belt and got vested in all that, she's now transferred. She works for State Highway now, and you know, getting ready to get another promotion. I mean, you know, the state system is awesome, especially if you're local. You know, if you had to commute from Delaware or something, it can get, you know, rather tedious on those long drives. But you know, to be local and work for the state, man, you're doing great. And at such a young age, you'll be going places. That's awesome. How did you get involved with MDE, Maryland Department of the Environment? How'd that come about?
Well, in high school, I attended the Western School of Technology and Environmental Science in Catonsville, Maryland.
Yep.
So that was my high school, and they had magnet programs that were that specialized in different career options for their students from 9th to 12th grade, and I was accepted into the Environmental Science magnet program.
All right.
Before eighth grade ended and before my middle school graduation, we had to take a test and we had to perform. We had to do a lab. We had to use our attendance, and we also had to take tests in order to gain acceptance into our high school. And Western Tech, you know, it's a Maryland Blue Ribbon school. It's won national awards, so you know, it's definitely, you know, high on that radar. And, you know, I was accepted into the Environmental Science Magnet Program. I needed 80 points in order to gain acceptance. I scored exactly 80 points.
Wow. Cool. And you made it.
Yes. And during my senior year of high school, we had different options. Since we were about to graduate from high school and since we were trying to get our graduation requirements and general education requirements out of the way, most of mine were out of the way. And having an internship was one of the options during your senior year.
Mm-hmm.
And I was surfing through the web and I was looking to see, okay, which agency would be great to get my foot wet, to get my feet wet and to just gain as much exposure as possible. And I happened to come across MDE. And I also have a cousin of mine who, you know, worked there for 40 years. He retired 2014,
uh-huh.
And so that's how I became familiar with MDE, and I called the human resources office, and the representative, she gave me information as it pertains to, you know, applying for a position, and just sending in my resume and everything. A couple of weeks later, I was accepted, and I was hired for the position, and I didn't even have to go in for an interview.
Praise the Lord. That's the favor of God there. Hey, man, that's awesome. You know, you weren't there when I was there, but I worked many accident scenes where we had to call MDE out because, you know, diesel fuel was leaking out of a tanker and down into the drain system, which would drain into the bay. And, you know, so, I mean, I probably worked with your uncle at one point or another while during my time out on the highway. But that's awesome. Small world. That's cool. How long did it take you to write your book, this first edition of the series?
Well, I started writing the book a month after I graduated from high school. So I graduated from high school in June of 2017, and I began writing the book the next month.
Wow.
And it was released in August of last year.
Mm-hmm.
So it took me about a year to write the book, and it took me about a year to, you know, network with the people I needed to connect with in order to, you know, back me up and in order to get me to where I wanted to go.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm still networking with people in different fields, not just in the field of writing, but in the field of environmental science and just with everything I'm pursuing. It's all about networking with the right people.
Amen.
In order to get to where you want to be in your career. And I do know that, you know, since I am in the public eye now, and, you know, this is just advice that I'm just giving to all of your listeners. When you're in the public eye and when you're networking with people in your prospective fields, you have to, you know, you have to have a plan.
Yep.
You have to have a plan, and you have to conduct yourself in the best manner possible, because nobody's going to want to represent you or, you know, put their money or their name on the line for you if they feel as though they cannot trust you, and or if they feel as though you're not flexible enough to work with them.
Amen.
So that's what I wanted to, you know,
say
awesome. To all of your listeners.
Amen. Now, you are also an evangelist, correct?
Correct.
In the ministry, okay. How did the Lord call you into this avenue of ministry?
Well, I grew up in church. I've been attending church since I was about 3 years old. So I grew up in the church. I was baptized when I was about 8 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And I attended Collective Christian Ministries in Randallstown, Maryland. That was my childhood church. I attended that church from the year 2002 up until 2018.
Okay.
And God is just, he just told me that, you know, it was just time for me to branch out and to just, you know, just meet new people at a different church. And it was just time for me to, you know, execute my salvation somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
Because I felt like I kind of outgrew my childhood church, and I felt like I was not given the chance to grow spiritually after a while. And that's why now I'm a member of the Messiah Community Church in Reisterstown, Maryland, under Pastor Rod Harrison and his first lady and his wife, Sherry Harrison.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been working with a team of ministers in order to become one, and I'll be teaching a discipleship class in a small group in the coming months.
Amen.
So I'm speaking training for that. And I just wanted to, because I noticed that many people, especially from my generation, a lot of millennials, they have a tendency to shy away from church. A lot of them don't really understand the concept of church, and they don't really show a lot of interest in church. And a lot of people, in a sense, a lot of people are, you know, a lot of people have a lot of judgments about people who are in church. A lot of people think that church people are, you know, judgmental, and a lot of people just have the wrong idea of what church is, and so I just want to be that example for, you know, people from my generation, especially because of how young I am. And I just wanted to tell all of your listeners that, you know, you don't, especially the older listeners, do not mm-hmm. underestimate anyone because of their age.
Yeah, that's correct.
And I just want to use my age and just my status in order to be an inspiration to someone else, you know, and just calling people to salvation. And, you know, as I hear stories, you know, because we have different people attend our church, we always have visitors, we always have guests, and, you know, the best part about being an evangelist is to just listen to stories from people of all backgrounds.
Right. Yeah.
That's the best part, and just digging deep into their story, just meeting new people and just that experience alone. That's what I love about.
Amen. Is that what you enjoy the most about being an evangelist?
Yes, that's what I enjoy.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Now, is this book an outreach of your ministry as an evangelist? Are you sharing the word through this book as well?
Well, earlier on in the book, I talk about my faith growing up. In the book, I talk about my faith growing up. But in the second and third book, you are definitely going to see more. One of the themes in the second and third book is spiritual growth, so you're going to see a lot more of that. Amen. In the second and third book than you did in the first book. The first book just gives you like a taste, but the second and third book, they kind of like, it makes you hungry for it, if that makes sense.
Right. Amen. How's the Lord using you and this book in your ministry?
Well, I'm just talking about my personal struggles with my self-image, from a male's perspective, and I just feel like a lot of people, and I've had people say this, and, I don't pay it any attention, but a lot of people say that, people don't care about that. People, male body image, nobody thinks about that, nobody cares. People have told me this, and I ignore it, and I know that that's not true. And
right.
I just know that there are just so many men that are afraid to speak out about this because, it's ancestral, it's historical, and it's generational for men to present themselves in a tough manner.
Yeah.
And, people have these false personas about men saying men don't cry, which is garbage.
Right. Amen.
That is totally false.
Yeah.
And just people have this, false persona of how a man is supposed to present himself in the public eye. And mm-hmm. a lot of men, especially men from older generations, they were just taught to suppress their feelings.
Yeah.
And they were taught by their fathers that their pain didn't matter.
Yep. That's right. It's a suck it up. Suck it up. I used to hear that all the time. What do you see as the cost of being yourself and laying it all out there for the public to see? Not just for you, but someone who reads your book and decides, I just need to be honest with everyone around me. I'm not going to pretend anymore. What can you tell them? What is the cost that will be to them?
Well, with my book and with my ministry and with everything I'm pursuing and with my class, so to speak, it teaches the listeners, readers, and a lot of the viewers and just people who follow me and people who are willing to support me in my dreams. It's just that you can be yourself and an individual if you are comfortable with everybody not liking you because of who you are and what you stand for.
Yeah.
If you're comfortable with not following the in crowd, and especially, if you're a younger person,
yep.
when you're going through school, and elementary school, middle school, high school, and even college, there are so many distractions, especially for my generation, and it's for college students, high school students with social media, and there are a lot of distractions.
Yeah.
There are so many yep. distractions, and if you are able to stay focused, and don't worry about how people view you, because the things that seem weird to others or awkward to others, you find out later in life that your unique qualities are your greatest strengths.
Yep.
And that's why I said that, you have to be comfortable with everybody not liking you if you want to be an individual. And
Amen.
You also have to, learn that making mistakes is okay.
Amen. Your book, it's available on Amazon, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
And is there any, like in bookstores or Barnes & Noble or anything like that? Or?
Well, I have in August, ever since the book has been released, I've made it available through all sales channels. So you could probably find it, in bookstores and libraries. But like I said, Amazon, it's linked to so many different sales channels. And it's also available in an ebook format on Kindle as well for all of the ebook readers.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. And I'll put links to all this in the show notes for when we publish your interview. is there anything else you'd like to add before we get ready to close?
Well, I would like to say that everybody has a ministry. Everybody, they say your pain is your ministry. So, you know, you don't have to, I mean, everybody gets hurt by someone or something throughout the course of their life. And it's usually more than once. And you have an option. You can either, because unfortunately, hurt people hurt people. And sometimes
That's right.
people don't see how their actions affect others. And some people, I mean, they fail to understand that you don't have to be a victim of your circumstance. You don't have to inflict or perpetuate pain onto others, but instead you can turn that negative experience into something positive. And with my ministry and with everything that I am pursuing now, you know, it's destined to grow. You know, the more as I propel to more of a more mainstream success and with more of a mainstream audience, my ministry is going to grow, and it's going to touch the lives of people within this community and around the world. And whenever you have a dream, you always have to have the right people on your team in order to support you and encourage you. Because having the wrong people on your team is very draining and tiring.
Yeah, it is. Amen.
And also, you have to be, if you want to dream and if you want to be a successful person, you have to be comfortable with people being envious of you because of your success.
Yeah, amen.
And because everybody does not have that drive, motivation, or perseverance, unfortunately.
Right.
And it's not so much of you. It's just their insecurities being, you know, passed on to you, the insecurities about themselves.
Right.
It's not about you at all.
Right.
You know, when people make, you know, underhanded remarks or sly comments about you and what you're doing, and whenever you have a dream that is going to be influential, whenever you have a dream that's going to touch lives, whenever you have dreams that are going to make a difference within your community and around the world, especially if you're trying to leave a legacy, not just for yourself, but for your family and through future generations, you know, those type of dreams will always have naysayers.
Amen. Nelson, how can someone contact you if they have any questions or perhaps even want you to do an interview such as this?
Well, I'm available on LinkedIn at Nelson Brown. You can just, you know, you can see me on LinkedIn. Just search for me, Nelson Brown. My book is available on Amazon, and you feel free, you know, once you purchase the book, you can write reviews of the book online, and you can, you know, just let me know what you think, and you can also shoot me an email at brownnelsone@gmail.com if you have questions in regards to how to purchase the book, or just, you know, if my interviews, or with anything I'm saying, you know, you can just tell me how it's touched you in some way, or you can just, you know, share something that you may not be comfortable with sharing with others.
Yeah.
Because I'm not here to judge. You know, I'm willing to listen. I'm very empathetic in people's circumstances. So I don't judge. I try to understand from the other person's perspective, and if I tell you the truth about it, I don't try to tell you truth I can't understand.
Right. Amen. Well, folks, that's all the time we have for today. Now, I encourage you, this is going to be a great resource, especially for young men's ministries. Oh, if you're a leader, small group leader for a young man's ministry, you need to put this book into their hands. You need to go on Amazon, order yourself at least a copy where you can share with the group in your group setting. Women, you know, young ladies, you need to hear what Nelson is sharing with you as well. It'll give you such a deeper perspective on your relationships with male friends and you know, your associates at work and things like that. You need to get this book. Go on Amazon, look up The Beauty in Us, /reality, or Beauty in Us and Nelson Brown, and it'll take you right to that page. There's also a link in the show notes below this recording where you can just click on it. It'll take you straight there. Nelson, thank you so much for sharing with us today. This has been an awesome information session. I know you're touching people's hearts. You're touching their lives. You're opening their eyes to reality. Amen. What a name. They see the beauty in each and every person. It's a reality. Praise God. Man, I appreciate you coming on. I want to stay in touch as you get ready to launch your next one, or maybe you want to come back on in a couple months, tell us how the book is doing and how it's been impacting people's lives. I'd be more than happy to have you back on again. Sound good?
Yes, that sounds good. You know, I'm still, like I said, I've networked with a lot of people ever since the book's released. I'm still networking with people. I'm going to be doing that all year long, and I have two more books that I plan to release in this June of next year and the summer of next year. And it's supposed to be a book of poetry this time.
Oh, wow. Cool.
And one book of poetry, the themes include spiritual growth, unity, forgiveness, and independence.
Amen.
And the other book of poetry celebrates manhood.
Amen. Well, folks, that is all the time we have for today. Nelson, I thank you again for coming on the program today. I look forward to staying in touch. Folks, go to the link in the show notes. Get this book. It's vitally important that you use this, share it, talk about it. It's a conversation starter. Amen. For Nelson Brown and myself, this is Pastor Bob reminding you to be blessed in all that you do.
Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this: your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts. Share your unique insights and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.